Hello and welcome to our site, and I pray you'll have a very blessed Christmas day on this 25th of December 2020. Our theme for this morning in our Christmas service, this is the Christ of Christmas. This is the Christ of Christmas. And if you have your Bible handy, please turn with me now to Paul's letter to the Colossians in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 15, Colossians 1 and verse 15, and then please keep your Bible with you so that we can refer to a few other scriptures as we move along in our theme, This is the Christ of Christmas. Paul says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, that is Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel, the good news, that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Just so far, may God bless this reading from his holy word. This is the Christ of Christmas. In my little book of poems that preach and teach, book 4, The Christian Calendar, this is the Christmas story put into rhyme. Would you indulge me as I read it to you now? At this enchanting time of the year, it is good to remember why we're here. Fitting to recall that the God of glory is the gracious giver of the Christmas story. The God who made all the galaxies in space, created this earth for the human race, breathed into Adam the breath of life, and from him made Eve his beautiful wife. All the fruit of the garden was theirs to enjoy, but Satan looked on and conjured a ploy. The Lord had given them just one prohibition, and the serpent used that to ruin their condition. Instead of prizing their free will to obey, they broke faith with God and blackened the day. The relationship shattered, they no longer walked tall, and all their descendants would share in their fall. But God judged the serpent with fearsome dread, said, The seed of the woman will bruise your head. That's where the prophecies of Jesus begin, God's wonderful provision for the cleansing of sin. Throughout the Old Testament, the good news is told, as ceremonies and festivals and symbols unfold. Even when the race is destroyed by a flood, Noah's family is saved in the ark of God. Next, God called Abraham to leave his nest, for through him the entire human race would be blessed. In their old age, God had Sarah a son. His name was Isaac, the promised one. Then came the command to sacrifice the lad, the son of the promise. It sounded so bad. But on Mount Moriah the altar was made, and on it the obedient Isaac was laid. There, with broken heart and sharpened knife, was Abraham. But God said, Don't do it. I've provided a ram. On the mountain of the blood of a substitute was shed, and Isaac was like one raised from the dead. Abram, who had been so mystified, found that by his faith he was justified. Isaac's son Jacob was the next great relation. His 12 sons fathered the Hebrew nation. 4 centuries in Egypt saw the Hebrews become slaves, and they cried out in distress to the God who saves. He told them through Moses, his name was I Am. Then he saved them from death through the blood of the Lamb. The angel of death passed over the land, but the Hebrews were saved through God's mighty hand. The Red Sea was parted, and they crossed on dry ground. Pharaoh's armies pursued them, but they were all drowned. In the desert 40 years by the Hebrews were spent, and they learned how to worship at God's special tent. There on the altar their offerings were laid. There Moses, Aaron, and the people prayed. Then came the judges, but they wanted a king. David, their favorite, taught them to sing. After came the mighty prophets of old, many like Daniel, remarkably bold. One of the greatest was surely Isaiah. He spoke so vividly of the coming Messiah. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Emmanuel, God with us, he'll be the one. Isaiah said he would shoot from Jesse's stem. Micah said he'd be born in Bethlehem. Malachi said a messenger would prepare the way. One like Elijah would appear that day. 4 centuries later, an angel appeared. Mary the Virgin was visibly scared. Don't be afraid, Mary, and don't think it odd, for you will give birth to the Son of God. In fields nearby, shepherds bowed to the ground, and the glory of the Lord shone all around. The angels did their voices raise, while the heavenly hosts joined in the praise. Off to town the shepherds sped, to find him in a manger for his bed. They marveled at a sight so rare, and bowing down they worshipped there. Wise men seek him still today, for he's the life, the truth, the way. And if on him you will believe, eternal life you shall receive. This is the Christ of Christmas. Think about that for a few minutes this morning, on this beautiful Christmas morning. As we celebrate the Christ of Christmas, I want you to know that this Christ of Christmas is incredible. He is indescribable. He is inescapable. First of all, think about this. He is incredible. Just look at his titles and the names that he has given in Scripture, through the Old Testament and then through the Gospels and into the letters of Paul and the writer to the Hebrews, John the Apostle, the writer of the Revelation. Over 50 titles are given in one way or another, sometimes titles, sometimes descriptions that are as good as titles, given to the Lord Jesus. Are you an artist? Then the Song of Solomon says, Jesus is the altogether lovely one. Are you an architect? Then Peter would remind you today, he is the chief cornerstone. Are you an astronomer? Malachi would remind you that he is the Son of Righteousness. Are you a baker, perhaps? John 6:35, Jesus is the bread of life. Are you a banker? Matthew 13:24, he is the hidden treasure. Are you a builder? Isaiah would remind you he is the sure foundation. Are you a carpenter? John would remind you in John 10:7, he is the door. Are you a doctor, perhaps? Then Jeremiah would remind you, he's the great physician. Are you an educator? John 3:2, he is the great teacher. Are you an engineer, perhaps? Then Hebrews 10:20 would remind you that he is the new and living way. Are you a farmer? Then he is the sower and the Lord of the harvest. Luke 10:2. Are you a florist? He is the rose of Sharon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. Are you a geologist? Jesus is the rock of ages. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Are you a horticulturalist? He is the true vine. John 15:1. Are you a judge? He is the only righteous judge of man. 2 Timothy 4:8. Are you a juror? He is the faithful and true witness. Revelation 3:14. Are you a jeweler? He's the pearl of great price, says Matthew 13:46. Are you a lawyer? He is counselor, lawgiver, and true advocate, Isaiah 9:6. Are you perhaps a newscaster? He is tidings of great joy, Luke 2:10. Are you an oculist or an optometrist or ophthalmologist? Proverbs 29:13, He is the light of the eyes. Are you a philanthropist? He is the unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. A philosopher, perhaps? He is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Are you like me, a preacher? Then Revelation 19:13, Jesus is the Word of God. Are you a sculptor, perhaps? 1 Peter 2:4, He is the living stone. Are you a servant? In Matthew 23:8-10, He is a good master. Are you a statesman? He is the desire of all nations. Haggai 2:7. Are you a student? Then Jesus is the incarnate truth. 1 John 5:6. Are you a theologian? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Are you a laborer? Matthew 11:28. He is the giver of rest. Are you like me, a sinner? He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To the Christ follower, this Christ of Christmas is the Son of the living God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our loving Lord. He is incredible. Secondly, He is indescribable. 2 Corinthians 9:15, the Apostle Paul, speaking in the context of giving Christians, thinks of the greatest gift of all, God's gift in Jesus that first Christmas. And he says, thanks be to God for his, and he coins a word that really can be translated indescribable. Friend, this is the Christ of Christmas. He is incredible. He is indescribable. Think of the ways in which people have tried to translate that Greek word that Paul says is indescribable in the New International Version. The King James Version has unspeakable. Today's English Version, thanks be to God for His priceless gift. The Jerusalem Bible, His inexpressible gift. The New English Bible, His gift beyond words. Today's English, words cannot describe. The Living Bible, thanks be to God for His gift, too wonderful for words. The Amplified Bible, thanks be to God for His gift, precious beyond telling. The Message paraphrase, thanks be to God for His gift, no language can praise it enough. This Jesus of Christmas is incredible. Just look at the titles that describe Him. He is indescribable, says the Apostle Paul. And if you find the Gospels tired territory at this time of the year, then allow the letters of Paul to answer these questions that show just how indescribable the coming of Jesus is in human terms. The when has to do with the timing. Let Paul answer that in Galatians 4:4. The why, the question has to do with the purpose of His coming. Let Paul answer that in Ephesians 2:1-4. The how, the question has to be with the mode, the wrapping. Let Paul answer that in Philippians 2:5-7. And the what, the question has to do with the worth. Then let the Apostle Paul describe that in Colossians 2:3-9. Look at that for just a moment, if you will, as we consider that Jesus Christ is incredible and He is indescribable. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. When you ask a question, when did the gift come? The answer really is indescribable. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. Before God created time, way back in eternity, God had determined the exact moment when Joseph and Mary would have to make their way to Bethlehem so that the Christ child could be born at the exact moment that God had prepared from all eternity. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born of a virgin, to be our Savior. When? It's indescribable. how God planned that moment. And if you ask why, the purpose of his coming, let the apostle answer that in Ephesians 2, where he says that before we were in our natural state, before we knew Christ, we were dead in transgressions and sins. We followed our own desires. We were just following the course of this world. We were by nature children of wrath. That's not a pretty picture, is it? But that's God's determination, God's understanding, God's perfect knowledge of who we are. We are sinners in need of a Savior, and that's why Jesus came. But God, in his immense mercy and kindness, came to us in Jesus so that we could be redeemed. How did he come? The question has to do with the wrapping. Allow the Apostle Paul to answer that in his Philippian hymn. This one who is eternally God, Theos, became truly man, Anthropos, did not consider his equality with God something to be clung to, something to be grasped at, but as it were emptied himself and became a man, took upon our humanity. The Apostle John says he, the Logos, the Word of God, became sox, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, said the Apostle John. How did he come? It's amazing how, in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed, where Matthew, the Jewish writer, traces the genealogy of Jesus, and when he comes to Joseph, makes it very clear that although Joseph was his earthly father-to-be, Joseph was not responsible for the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, Mary, of whom was born Jesus, the Messiah. How did he come? Well, it's indescribable, really. I mean, there were different ways you might conjure up his coming if you were looking at it from a human point of view. I mean, he could have come with human parents, and then he would have had humanity, but no divinity. He could have maybe had no human parents at all, just sort of become a divine being. But then there would be no humanity, even though there was divinity, perhaps. Or perhaps he could come into another's body, a kind of reincarnation. But then prophecy would fall short. The prophecies, for example, concerning Bethlehem being the place of his birth. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. That's the only possible way in which God can be truly God and truly man without sin. The incarnation, that's what we celebrate this Christmas day. God taking upon himself our humanity through a virgin being conceived through the Holy Spirit of God and giving birth to a baby boy. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. One who is truly man and truly God and yet without sin. Only such an one could take our place upon the cross. And so we ask, why did he come? He came to redeem us. He came to bring us salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes on him might not perish but have eternal life. How did he come? He came through the miraculous conception, the supernatural conception of the Holy Spirit of God and born of the Virgin Mary. And so we ask then, what is the gift worth? Once again, it's indescribable. The when is indescribable in human terms. The why is indescribable. It's beyond human telling. The how is indescribable. God took the initiative. God did it all. From first to last, it was God. And so, what is the gift worth? How do you value a gift like Jesus, God's gift to us, that first Christmas. Let the Apostle Paul answer that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 9. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. God was pleased that in his Son all of his fullness should dwell. The hymn writer said, Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear, no saint on earth its worth can tell, no heart conceive how dear. Praise God for this indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thirdly, and with this we close, this is the Christ of Christmas, and he is incredible, he is indescribable, and he is inescapable. Philippians 2:11, at the conclusion of his Philippian hymn, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God has exalted him to the highest place, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The coming of Jesus leaves us with an inescapable choice. When Jesus, as a 40-day-old baby, was taken to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated to the Lord, Simeon, the priest, prophesied, saying in Luke chapter 2 and verse 34 and 35, that this child is destined for the rise and fall of nations and of many. You see, one day every tongue will have to confess, every knee will have to bow, and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the sovereign creator of the heavens and the earth, and that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he is Kurios, he is Lord of all. Friend, he is not only the incredible Christ, he is not only the indescribable Christ, he is the inescapable Christ. And that brings us to our conclusion, and the conclusion has to bring us to a decision. Either Jesus is who he claims to be, or he is a fraud of the first order. When you examine his character, when you examine his claims, when you examine the cross upon which he died, the price he paid for our sins, when you examine the empty tomb and see that he's alive forevermore, when you examine the evidence of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and when you examine the quality of life that he gives to those who put their trust in him, for Jesus did not come to give us another religion. He said, I am come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. The question we must ask, if we've never asked it before, is, what must I do to be saved? Paul gives us the answer, the same answer that he gave to the Philippian jailer nearly 2,000 years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And so this morning, on this beautiful Christmas morning, once again we're confronted with the one who is truly the Messiah, God's anointed one, our Redeemer, the Savior of all mankind. This Christ of Christmas, who is incredible, indescribable, inescapable. The way to Jesus is the way of repentance, acknowledging our sin, placing our faith in Jesus Christ alone for the blessing of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. I wonder if you'd like to bow with me in a closing prayer as we respond to the one who truly is the Christ of Christmas, the one who is truly Lord of all. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us on this Christmas morning of 2020. reminding us of who Jesus really is, the eternal Son of God, who became truly man, so that we could once again become children of God, have a right relationship with you, Lord, and know the gift and the blessing of everlasting life. And so we come now, Lord, in repentance, acknowledging that we are the sinners for whom Jesus died, thanking you for the promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we ask, dear Lord, that you would forgive. And as we return to you this morning with all of our heart, we place our trust wholly and solely in you, Lord Jesus, for you alone are the way and the truth and the life. You are the only Redeemer, able to forgive our debt of sin, restore our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so we cry out to you this morning, and we receive by faith your grace, your amazing gift of salvation. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can pray today that people all over the world, hearing the good news about Jesus and the reason for the season, will by the Holy Spirit's gracious enabling and enlightening, recognize perhaps many, many people for the first time who Jesus really is. Not just a baby in the manger, born on that first Christmas morn, but the eternal Son of God, who came to redeem us, to be our Savior, our Shepherd, our Friend, our Lord, and our God. And so grant that this may be a day of salvation for many all over the world. Thank you for speaking to us today. We want to pray today, Lord, for our world that is in the grip of the coronavirus pandemic, and pray, Heavenly Father, very especially today for those who are spending Christmas in hospital, those who are struggling to breathe, those who are on ventilators, those who are facing death. We pray that you'd reveal yourself to them. We commend to you those who are suffering, those who are sick, those who need the touch of God upon their lives today. And we pray that Christ may be revealed to each one. We pray, Heavenly Father, for leaders of nations around the world and for governments, that wisdom will be given over this Christmas season to govern well. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your will may be accomplished on earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray today for our families and loved ones, and this Christmas is so different, dear Lord, and so many of us find ourselves having cancelled plans that we made, not being able to meet with family members and friends as we had planned to do. But we pray that you'd be with us, each one in our personal situation today and in the coming days, and then into the new year ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that if you're our shepherd, we lack nothing, that your goodness and kindness and mercy will flank us all the days of our life. And so we choose to fix our eyes upon Jesus today, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit, be with you all, evermore. Amen.